from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Days of the Youth. So, I guess in the days of our youth, there was probably Eagles preseason games Saturdays at 1. I don't remember it in the days of my adulthood. So if you just heard that little promo coming back from break, the Eagles play Saturday at 1. Weird. I mean, it's fine.
Sure.
I don't care. I mean,
why
whatever.
Not? But it's
I
weird.
Mean, I'll say this. I'd rather it be on a Thursday night. I just think there's a little bit more juice to a Thursday night. I mean, listen, the preseason thing's different than it used to be. I mean, it's lesser than it used to be. I do think Saturday at 1, they won't get as many viewers as they typically do. You're going to have people on the beach. You know, you're going to have people, you know, parents, you know, coaching their kids games in Little League. And I mean, so, like, I don't really care, but I would say it's not exactly optimal.
I'll give you one other degenerate point of view.
It's all we want.
Is
you,
this going to be about
this
betting
is all we want.
Yes. On preseason
yes.
football?
Yes, Saturday is Traverse Saturday at Saratoga.
Look at this, the Mac man revving it up.
One of the biggest races of the year. Now, it is going to be run to like 4:50, 5:58 in the day. So you get the whole Eagle game in ahead of time, but some people on Traverse Day like to start with the first race, which will be about 12:30, as a matter of
fact. Well, all right, look, I mean, the Eagles are up against all of it. All of it. By the way, I got five. So, James, you know when Jody's in here, I love to tap into that brain.
Five questions for the Mac Man.
Five questions for the Mac Man.
You got five?
I got five today.
Love it.
You got by without asking any yesterday, yeah, other than if I own a farm. That was the only question I think you actually asked.
That's out of control.
Yeah.
That was the one question for Jody Mac yesterday.
All right. So,
how's that farm doing?
I kind of felt, Jody, I actually felt kind of bad after that.
You should.
The best part is, Jody, you didn't react, though. Like, that's what you got to do. You just stared ahead and powered through.
James, he might have been annoyed, but I didn't want to ask him, but I just wasn't sure if I went too far.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. I mean, you know.
Oh, well, Old McDonald, that's a shot. That's part of the gig. That's what they do in the morning. Follow up with, how's the farm? Yes, you've gone too far. That's the way it played.
All right, well, I take it back. All right, so look, 215, although I think that might find its way in a drop of the week. But
it
should. So 215-592-9494. Five questions for the Mac Man today. Question number one, Jody, and I'm sure we're not going to do much on the Sixers today, but it just struck me because I heard Paul George talking about this recently. He didn't really answer the question, nor should he. But he was posed the question, Jody, final shot for the Sixers. Let's say there's 15. Let's say there's 12 seconds to go, and you got time to set something up. It's not like 3 seconds to go, which it's harder to get the ball to Embiid if there's 3 seconds to go. 12, 15 seconds to go. You got three different options. You got Joel. You got Paul George. You got Tyrese Maxey. Who should take the last shot, Jody?
I want Maxey to decide. If it's him,
so he creates and,
he beats
and then
his
decides,
man, and he's got one of his creative through the air, fading away, one-handed.
So you're letting
Maxey,
but you're saying Maxey sets the whole thing in motion.
Correct.
I mean, and Michael Jordan passed the ball to Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr got the last shot, but Michael Jordan set it. So you're putting the ball in Maxey's hands.
Absolutely. And if it's a Joel comes free off a pick and he decides best to dump it back to him, Joel gets the last shot. If somebody doubles off and George's man leaves him a little separation and he can kick out and George takes shot, I'm good with it.
James,
I want Maxey deciding.
Is that the right answer?
So my thought when you said it, and I know it's simple, but it's whoever's open, honestly.
Well,
like,
forget that.
No, but seriously, though, I think you have to play it as it comes. You have three dudes who I feel comfortable taking the last shot of the game. Like, I don't think you go in and say we're forcing it to anybody.
Do you feel comfortable with Joel Embiid taking the last shot?
Absolutely, yeah.
Does it have to be a three?
Because I'm less... No, don't have to be afraid.
I feel
dictated by
Joel
the show.
Dictated by, exactly. Dictated by the play. If Embiid is open, if there's one man on him, I'm good with
it. If Embiid is like right under the basket, posted up, and Maxey or someone else feeds it to him, then I feel 100% confident in
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. Three, I don't know.
I don't feel as confident with Joel as I'd like to feel. I mean, first off, it's hard to get the ball to a center sometimes 15 seconds to go because you're also typically trying to shoot the ball near the very end of the game. And that's not as easy for a center to do. It's just a little bit different. And I just don't think he's, like, totally Mr. Clutch. Look, well, I mean, you know, I don't think we're going to get into much Sixers talk today, but if you want to comment on last shot, Maxey, Paul George, or Embiid, totally stylistically different players. And, you know, you can make a case for all of them. I mean, Paul George is very – let's put it this way, guys. Paul George has taken and made a lot more last-second shots than the other two guys combined. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Benjamin. Good morning, Benjamin.
Hey, how you doing?
Benjamin. Hey, Ben. What's up, buddy?
Long time listener, first time.
Welcome aboard, Benjamin.
Yeah, no problem. I'm pretty sure this has been brother before, but I got an issue. What if the whole team does well, probably reaches the NFC Championship? Is there a possibility Hurts go to the front office and then it's like, okay, y'all kick Nick up to the front office
for Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore?
I tend to listen.
He's going to get poached.
That's the interesting thing. If they felt that he was about, so here's when I remember this almost happened, and a team didn't have the guts to pull the trigger, and they should have. San Francisco won the Super Bowl, won it all, 1994. George Seifert, second title for Seifert. And the first time where it's kind of like more his show.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan.
And Shanahan had been running the offense.
Didn't the Rams kind of do it with Martz? Was Vermeil pushed out there?
No,
I don't remember. It wasn't? Okay,
Vermeil
so he left on his own?
Out.
Okay,
yes.
I wasn't sure about that.
Vermeil was definitely not pushed out. He chose to retire. But the 49ers were really thinking about replacing their Super Bowl winning coach, George Seifert, to keep Shanahan. They thought it would be a ridiculous look. They chose not to. Shanahan went to Denver, won two titles. San Fran started going down. Do I think the Eagles would have the guts to do it? Probably not, because it's so rare, Benjamin. Now, you can make the case they should, and I'd have to see it play out to know that. It's a very fascinating scenario.
Yeah, I'll be thinking about that every time I'm driving listening to y'all.
I wonder if Nick thinks about that.
I think they're going to be good this year. I think they're going to be real good this year.
Well, they should be pretty darn good. All right, it's a really interesting question. Benjamin, give me an answer here. Best sports quote, biggest sports quote.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Nick Foles effect from yesterday helped me today, too. So, you want Philly?
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So,
does that count?
I don't know. Jody, does it count?
I mean, it's not play-by-play since we've eliminated play-by-play.
I think it counts. In-game.
I mean, it's similar to the play-by-play in a way.
It's conversation during a game. I mean, fine. You want Philly. I'll write it down.
I don't know if it's a winning answer, but let's count it.
I have noticed it is hard. There are a couple things when we do these contests that are very hard to vote against. Foles and Super Bowl 52 stuff wins at a very high percentage.
Yes. That's true.
I mean, it won yesterday. What was the question, Jody? What was the question yesterday?
Best number two.
So,
and Foles was backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
James, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I liked it. You didn't like that answer.
I didn't love it. I love it, but I didn't love it. By the way, Goddard, caller asked about Goddard. I looked into it in the break. Missed practice yesterday and oblique. Now, this has not gotten much attention to the point where, you know, reporters are talking about it as a potential problem. So I tend to think it's not a big issue, but candidly, I'm not sure. But no one's really buzzing like, you know, he's not going to be ready week one.
Reporters didn't even know about it because when practice ended yesterday, it's my first time, only time all year, I got to stick around for practice because I happen to be with you to do the morning show. So I'm standing with all the reporter guys, and they're exchanging pictures of Goddard with no pads on. He just came out, jersey, not going to practice. Nobody knew he wasn't even going to practice. So did you see Goddard? And one or two guys actually snapped a photo of him and said he wasn't out there with the team. He came out without his pads on. And then I don't know what happened to him. He might have been working individually or he might have just gotten back into the locker room. So nobody knew. This was a surprise that Goddard didn't practice yesterday.
215-592-9494. Eagles, Phils, you can weigh in on certainly either. If you want to comment on final shot for the Sixers, that's on the table as well. Plus, five questions with Jody Mack today. Jody, here's question two. I saw this headline yesterday. I was surprised, and it makes me wonder whether the Phils should get him. I tend to think they should if they can. Hector Neris available. Cut by the Chicago Cubs, who were like sort of in playoff contention, but 5.5 games out. He had been their closer, 17 saves, an ERA in the mid-threes. So, like, he hadn't pitched bad. Now, not good in his last outing. Makes me wonder if something happened behind the scenes, because you don't normally have a guy cut.
Well, for what it's worth, the ERA is a little misleading. He's at 3.89 ERA, is a 1.51 whip. Like a 1.51. Yeah. I mean, that probably leads the league. I haven't looked.
So, James, would you not sign him?
Oh, I would sign him. I would absolutely bring Hector up.
Jody Mack, this bullpen being what it is, latest example, I mean, good by some of the relievers last night. It was, they got through it with Estevez in the ninth, but that did not feel good. Would you sign Hector Neris?
The McDonald family vehemently votes yes.
Shout out to Maddie. Is Maddie a part of this too?
Can I just say, in our last commercial break, as we're walking out, Jody turns to me, he's like, do you like Hector the Protector? I was like, what? Why?
Is that about Hector Neris?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hector the Protector.
I didn't know you had this on your mind to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. That's coincidental.
You teased it going to break.
You knew what I was getting at.
I knew what you were getting at. So that's why I asked Devin. My daughter was a Hector Neris fan, and when he left the Phillies, or maybe it was, did he go directly to Houston?
Houston. Yep.
Houston, right.
Beat him in the World Series and pitched well in
pitched
that
well.
Series.
Pitched well, yeah. Could have given us one, Hector.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, right. Hector Neris beat the Phillies in the World Series.
And my daughter was a Hector fan, and he left. Unfortunately, she wasn't happy, but she did tweet him, best of luck with the Astros. And Hector replied.
Oh,
you don't usually get replies from professional athletes. And Hector said, thank you very much.
That's nice.
So she was a fan before he left. She stuck a fan even when he left and became a bigger fan when he responded to her on social media. So the McDonald family are Hector the Protector fans. Love to see him back.
I mean, I'm with you too. And listen, I might not have felt that way entirely if these other guys had held up their end of the bargain lately. But it's been a roller coaster. I mean, I know last night some of the guys pitched well, but Strom, Hoffman, Ryan Kerkgren.
I mean, Estevez, like we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, they've all been going backwards. By the way, someone help me here, because, you know, I do some research for the show, but there's some stuff that goes beyond my interest. I got two all-time baseball dorks here today. I got Seltzer and McDonald, all right? And I say that with love. You guys know a lot about the minutia. What's the rule here? Does he have to clear waivers? Someone can claim him?
Someone can claim him.
Right.
Waivers.
Reverse order of standings?
It's reverse order of standings, correct.
And he can't be traded because the trade deadline is coming gone.
Probably.
I mean, a one-year deal for $9 million, so basically about $3.5 million left on his deal. Some team behind the Phillies is going to claim him then, right?
Yeah, not even 3.5, less than
3. That. Yeah, whatever it would be.
Yeah, we're less than a quarter of the season in.
So probably hard. Yeah, okay, so 2-something.
But how many teams?
Here's the thing I'll say. Agents play a big role in this type of stuff. That we're behind the scenes, like a lot of, like, I don't know who Hector's agent is, but a lot of times agents will be able to get teams not to claim him. Hey, we'll do something else for your guy later. Don't claim him. He wants to play on a contender. Whatever. Like, that stuff does happen.
Well, if I'm the Mets and I'm trying to make the playoffs, I'm signing him.
I don't care. I get it.
I still wish the Celtics had drafted LeBron James's kid. You want to play hardball with us? All right, Bronny James, we draft you with the pick right in front of the Lakers. What are you going to do now, Rich Paul?
You said the same thing.
What are you going to do, LeBron James?
I got killed for that.
What are you going to do?
For the same exact stance. If you're sitting anywhere the pick's leading up to, you absolutely take them. You put the squeeze on the Lakers.
100%.
But they were all afraid of the big agency, and they let him fall all the way down to the Lakers. Shame on all those general managers.
Society is weak. Everybody's weak. Let's go to Vinny in King of Prussia. What's up, Vin? Vinny!
Hey, Joe. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Be real quick. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
Just want to touch on the Eagles and this guy that wrote this article. Mm-hmm. I really think last year was rock bottom. I mean, I don't know how it could be much worse.
Well, I can guarantee it can be worse because, Vinny, it was rock bottom at the very end and for that last month or so. Mm-hmm. Dude, don't misconstrue it. They went 11-6. I mean, do you know when I was growing up, when Marion Campbell was the coach, I would have died for a freaking 11 wins. You kidding me?
Yeah. They had 11 wins, but they didn't look like an 11-win team.
They did not at the end.
No, not even from the beginning, though.
I'll agree with that. That's fair. Yep.
They could have lost the first week to the Patriots. Like,
yeah,
it was
a
rough season from the start. They look good this year. The rest of the division this year is also much worse. Dallas is looking like they're going to struggle. Their win total just dropped from 10.5 to 9.5 pretty much across the board. So I just think 10 wins this division this year, no problem.
10 wins will probably win the division because the Cowboys probably won't win 11. But listen, 10, you might be in a tie. I mean, I don't think Dallas wins 11. All right, Vinny, give me an answer here. A tremendous sports quote.
Okay, I think easy one, local, everyone uses it. Allen Iverson, we talking about practice.
Oh, yeah. Was waiting all show for it. Yeah. I knew at some point we were going to get it.
You know, let me give you a backstory as it relates to me with that press conference. I was such a wuss. Such a wuss. I had just broken in the sports radio industry. So let's see. My first shift ever in radio was Thanksgiving Day 2001. And that press conference was in, I think, May of 2002 because the Sixers had just lost to the Celtics. I had just gotten to the point where I felt the confidence to approach a team like, I work for this radio station. Can I come to your press conference? And I got the yes from the Sixers.
Nice.
I got the yes like the day before that, maybe that morning, something like that. So I get a yes. I am officially allowed to attend the press conference. I just felt so unworthy, even though I was truly thinking of going to that press conference. I just didn't feel confident. I didn't go.
You didn't go?
What?
You got cleared and didn't go?
I got cleared and didn't go.
Oh, no.
And it would have been the first press conference I had ever been at.
Damn.
Wow. Wow. That's... But I also get where you're coming from.
Right?
Like, you had imposter syndrome. Because even sometimes I'll be sitting there, I'm like, what am I doing at Eagles training camp?
Right?
You know? It is kind of a surreal feeling.
It's very surreal. I mean, you grow up and you don't think that you're going to be on the other side of the rope.
Right.
And then you are. But I was so timid. Like, I know I am.
Get a hammer!
But I mean, and I always was.
Get a hammer!
There was some timidity in there. You know,
that's shocking. I can't picture
you're more like the hammer back then. I'm the hammer.
No worries at that.
It's a regret. It obviously is a regret. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Elliot because you know, he did a great job. He really did. I know some people gave him a hard time for the Jalen Hurts, you know, he hasn't thrown an interception thing. And I do think Elliot, while somewhat serious, was also a bit tongue-in-cheek with some of that
leaning
stuff.
He was leaning in.
He was stirring it up a little bit. But his coverage really has been phenomenal. It's always phenomenal. Elliot does a great job covering the Eagles. He wraps up training camp yesterday, as he did every day through camp with a video at the end, sort of just his biggest takeaway. And in this case, it's the overall takeaway from training camp. Here's Elliott's social media video after camp yesterday.
Day 16 of training camp, just wrapped up the last practice of training camp. Sad to see it go. Jalen Hurts, his first interception of camp today. It was a great play by Darius Slay. Darius Slay said afterwards that he baited Jalen into the throw. Jalen was, you know, dropped back, threw it over the middle, was trying to hit Devontae. Slay jumped it. Honestly, might have been a pick six in a game. It was a great play. But even with the streak coming to an end, it still caps off what was an outstanding training camp for Jalen Hurts. As I've said, the no interceptions is exactly what you want to see from Jalen. He doesn't need to be a risk taker. He doesn't need to be, you know, running all around and trying to make something happen. What he needs to do, and what I think the coaches want him to do, is just take care of the ball and get the ball to the playmaker. So that is what he did all camp. And overall, as you know, I leave this camp for good. I think Jalen had a camp where you can feel way better about him leaving the camp than you did coming in. Remember, he didn't have a great offseason. He didn't have a great end to the season. What he did have, though, was 16 practices of doing exactly what they need him to do. Take care of the ball, be smart, make the nice throws when he has to. There were a number of great throws that he made, a number of great deep throws. But the one interception over, you know, 330 throws, if he does that type of ball protection during the season, the Eagles are going to be very good.
Look, it really is exciting that he had such a great camp. Now, we need to see it in games to feel, I mean, at least some of us do, I do, to feel solidified, that he's all the way back. But I'll say this. The better he looks this year, the worse Sirianni looks last year. Because if it really was about reinventing the offense and drilling down on Hurts more, then shame on Sirianni and Brian Johnson for not delivering last year. I mean, I'm serious, Jody.
I'm glad you added Brian Johnson to that, because Sirianni was the head coach the year he was the MVP runner-up.
That's right.
The one thing that changed was the offensive coordinator.
Two things changed. No, that changed, but defenses changed, and Sirianni didn't have the counterpunch to the defenses change. That, you know, that to me was the, look, last year's last year. I don't want to do the deepest dive, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, the head coach or whoever's running the offense has to know if a team's made an adjustment, let me adjust back. That's where I thought he was so foolish last year.
Yeah. I know I'm on an island on this one. I think the offense coordinator stunk last year. Period.
You're end not on an sentence. Island.
No, you're not on an island at all. But I also know this. I blame the head coach more because it was his offense.
It was his offense when he came here and he called plays and he said, you know, I'm not quite good enough at this. I'm not spending enough time with the defense. Here, please take this over, Shane Steichen. So is it his offense, or is he given the keys to his offensive coordinators since week four of year one and said, it's on you guys?
Well, look, there are some unknowns in that whole thing that we'll never really know. At least I don't think we will. 215-592-9494. One more thing before we get back to the calls. You know, that interception was referenced there by Elliott, as Hurts did have his first interception of the season, of the training camp, that is. Let's listen to Darius Slay. There was some funny stuff in here. Here's Darius Slay. Then we're going to get to Jalen Hurts in that moment. Darius Slay yesterday on picking off Jalen.
Slay, were you aware that was first? That was Jalen's first interception at camp?
Yeah, I'm aware. I mean, y'all, the media be talking about that all camp. That he been, what, 200-something throws or whatever, something like that. Like, yeah, I've been aware of it. Yeah. Oh, that's normal. Yeah, I'm 12 years in. I've been intercepting quarterbacks for a long time. Long time. Some of the great ones. So it was good. It's fun.
I'm telling you, I could listen to Darius Slay talk all day, every day. I mean, I think the guy's hilarious. Now, when they lose, there are times I guess I'm not in the mood to hear his...
Yeah, not taking accountability.
His presentation.
A little flipping about it. Yeah.
Like, it's like, all right, dude. It's a little bit like the Castellanos thing. They're the two guys. When they're winning, I love what they say. And when they're losing, it kind of ticks me off. But Darius Slay is entertaining. He continued on, by the way, about the INT.
Yeah, I baited him. That's it. I know how to bait Hurts. You know what I'm saying? I made him feel like he was open, and I'm like, nah, he ain't. That was it. Just a little bait. You know, threw a little rod out there and just reeling in.
Did Jalen say anything to you after?
Nah, he don't like to talk to me when I pick him off. He get kind of mad at me a little bit. He kind of about to But it's okay. I'm going to go give him a hug and stuff.
Seltzer, remind me with Beat the Hammer. I got to start using that phrase. A little bait. little bait. You know?
Yeah.
Little bait. Like you got a shot to win. Call in. You know, to contest line. Little bait.
That we give Elliott a hard time, but I will say the Eagles even leaned into the no interception
thing. They did.
Everyone did, nationally.
They posted it. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it worked.
I mean, Sirianni was talking about Elliott on the NFL Network.
Well, the people love to rip Elliott and then use his stats. You know,
that's
like, oh, this is so silly. But did you know that Jalen has gone 265 passes that interception?
That's so true. Hey, let's listen to one more. This is Jalen Hurts, and this was a funny response by Jalen, you know, after practice, about if he had an interaction with Darius Slay after that interception.
Slay say anything to you after the pick?
Nah, I told him about time.
That's good luck.
Defense. Good for Jalen.
Nice job, Jalen. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to that RC of Bryce Harper situation in a moment. Howard Eskin in 15 minutes. Rob in South Jersey right now. Good morning, Rob.
Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to thank you for I was waiting on hold here, and you just blurred out Ricky Waters for who for what.
Well,
he jumped you.
Oh, you were going to say for who for what?
Yeah, it's my favorite quote of all time.
Well, I'm sorry I inadvertently took it.
It's all right. God,
I mean, I got to imagine you can pivot. There's only a million sports quotes to go.
I mean, you really should be blaming Drew from Westchester by bringing up the Aaron Rowan quote. Like, how do you not reference it after hearing the Aaron Rowan quote, right?
Plus, for who for what has such negative connotation, I don't think it would have won. I just don't.
It's a fair point. Real quick with Barnwell, I don't take anything he says seriously. He's a huge Giants fan. Even 2 years ago when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, he had them losing in the divisional round, first round, not to the Giants. But I think he had it where, like, Brady was going to win, or, like, the way it was going to work out, that Brady was going to come into the link and win that year. He's always trashing the Eagles. I'm not here saying the Eagles are perfect, but anything Barnwell said, I take with the
Eagles. Okay, fair enough. What do you got on the Phils here today, Rob?
Phils, you know, there should be a rule in baseball that if your OPS is below 650, you shouldn't be able to stare down anybody. So that's something for Orlando Arts to say. And Joe, I get what you're saying with the rivalry.
Yep.
But if that was Olsen, Ozuna, Albies, Riley, then I would agree with you. It reminds me of 2010. I don't know if you remember.
Hold on. Let me guess before you say it. 2010. No. It reminds you of when that random Blackhawk guy was giving a hard time to Chris Pronger.
Oh, you are. That's very Adam Burrish.
Dude, that is
a good pull. Good pull.
That is a hell of a pull.
And that is why I am, ladies and gentlemen.
The Hammer! So you mean the Hammer.
I mean, Rob, all you said was the, and you're right, by the way, it's a great comp. That was a scrub Blackhawk talking about probably the Flyers' best player. And even though the Blackhawks won that series and all, and that was, I don't know, after maybe, I don't know which game it was after, but that was a punk move by that kid.
Yeah, he's, Pronger would have destroyed him physically. Yeah, anyway, No, but again, and with the field as well, you know, I got to say, man, I didn't even watch last night. It's really hard to watch him every night because it's so frustrating. But when they went down 2-0, I was kind of watching on my phone. And for whatever reason, last year, this team always came back. This year, they haven't done it. So to see it last night, down 2-0 against Fried, I know the Phillies have had success against him, but they came back. They won the game. If they had lost last night, man, and got down to 5, it was a big win. It was like, I don't know if this makes sense, but last night was a little big win. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And by the way, for everyone waking up to it, the Brewers lost yesterday. So the Phillies are now...
on a walk-off grand slam, yeah, the Brewers lost.
That's the way to lose. The Phillies, I remember Tim Tuffle did that to the Phillies like in...
The Tuffle Shuffle, 80, baby.
88 or something. I'm watching a game and freaking Tim Tuffle beats the Phillies on a grand slam. Brewers, Phillies now one up on Milwaukee, but really two... because the Phillies currently hold the tiebreaker. Rob, give me a great answer, a great sports quote.
Well, this is the quote I use when people ask me if I've ever beaten the Hammer, and it's Bryce Harper's quote. That's a clown question, bro.
Oh, Rob. That's
nice.
So good.
That's good work.
So good. Yeah, I mean, there's so few in society that have ever beaten the Hammer. I have heard from people who have known people that one guy in particular that beat me one time beat the Hammer, and this guy, this loser, had the audio stored in his phone, and he plays it for people when he meets them.
I mean, it's a strong move.
Freaking clown, that guy, man. has his one day in the sun. All right.
I was impressed by you remembering the Blackhawk. I was more impressed by Rob, who knew the player's name.
Yeah, that one.
Who is this guy?
All right, Jody, can you name the Blackhawks goalie in that series?
No.
Because he was a disaster,
no.
And the Flyers goalie was. Seltzer, what was that guy's name?
Man, I remember Michael
Layton. Because
he was horrible. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember. Is it Stanley Cup?
And I remember
goalie?
Their big burly four was Dustin Bufflin, right?
Dustin, yeah.
Bufflin.
I mean, like Taves and Kane.
Well,
and like,
those two guys.
Past
right.
That,
you know.
I'm pretty much out. Yeah, exactly.
Stop there.
And they had Patrick Sharp, right? The old Flyer, didn't they?
Yeah, Patrick Sharp was there too.
Patrick
yep.
Sharp.
Yep.
And was that Quinlan or Quinville? Or, oh, you know what I heard yesterday?
Joel Quinville.
Quinville's
yeah.
coach.
You know what I heard yesterday that I was surprised at? Someone told me yesterday, Torts, the oldest coach in the NHL.
Wow.
Mm.
He doesn't,
look at it. Torts just signed on to be the assistant coach of USA.
That's right.
Team USA Hockey.
That's right. Jody, does that surprise you, John Tortorella, oldest coach in the NHL?
No, he's been around for a long time.
I know, but
a lot of years.
But he doesn't look it and he doesn't act it. It's like Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll.
Hey, he's got a little of the tough guy old school around the league. But yeah, give him credit for he does not look his age.
No, he doesn't. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get to this Arcia Bryce Harper situation from yesterday. So the Phils get the win, which was good. But in the midst of it, you know, Arcia, when he hits a home run for the Braves to make it 2-0, you know, halfway through the game, whatever the heck it was, you know, punk move, if you will. Does the home run, does the going around the bases staring at Bryce thing. Let's first listen to the home run.
And a pitch. Swung on and hit high and deep to left field. Wilson is back at the track, at the wall. He jumps. It's gone.
All right, so he hits the home run, and then it takes a little bit of time for the broadcasters to realize what's going on. Because that's the version there of Scott Fransky here on WIP. Let's get to the Tom McCarthy Rubin version on TV as they absorb, like, wait a second here. He's doing what we think he's doing, right? He's trying to get back at Bryce, who stared at him last year in the playoffs. Oh, yeah, he was trying. He certainly was. Here's Tom McCarthy and Rubin on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
2-0 Braves, Orlando Arcia, a 2-run home run. He hasn't accomplished a whole lot this year, but he's given the Braves the lead here today. So this is what happened after he hit the home run. He's looking, he's got it. Yep. And then he looks for Harper.
Oh, very interesting.
Got to do it in the postseason.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the biggest home run. He looked at him again.
Yeah. Either that or he's looking at Noah. I don't know. I'm assuming he's looking at Harper at that point. You're right.
Yeah. We think it was three times.
The fact that he did it multiple times makes it just more of a loser move. Like, make sure he knows that I'm looking at him. Like, we get it.
So, yeah, look, I both don't like it and like it at the same time. The don't like part is, Phillies fan, I don't need some brave scrub doing that to our guy. The part that I like makes sports more fun. Makes sports more fun.
I like Rubens. Biggest home run.
I like that. I like that. That's a settled down skip.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
let's relax.
Let's listen to Bryce Harper after the game. He obviously was going to be asked about it. Now, the audio here, a little, I don't know if grainy is the right term for audio, but if a visual version of grainy could be applied to audio, I guess this is grainy. It's not the easiest to understand, but you'll mostly get it. He's basically saying, I don't care. I already did it. Here's Bryce Harper last night.
I already did it.
Well handled, right?
I did that already.
I got that. Well handled. By the way, Rob Thompson handled it really well as well. I liked Rob Thompson's answer when he was asked about it.
Looked like Arcia had stared at Bryce after he hit that home run running first.
I heard about that. Yeah, that's gamesmanship. We won.
Yeah.
That's great. We won. By the way, I heard about that. That's good acting right there. It's kind of like, you remember, Jody, when T.O. had those three touchdowns in Cleveland in 04, and he started ripping down all the signs behind the end zone?
Yes.
And Andy Reid's asked about it after the game. And Andy takes a different approach. Andy's like, I didn't know. I didn't see it. Yeah, he's like, hey, coach, shouldn't you try to get your star receiver's antics a little under control? Well, maybe if I had seen it, I would have, but I didn't see it. But at least
weren't buying Andy's denial on that one, were you, Joe DiCamera?
Nor am I buying Rob Thompson's. I noticed that. Like, of course you noticed that. The whole world noticed that. Let's go to the phones.
No.
What?
I think because you're watching the game. If somebody's sitting there watching the game in stadium, I don't know that they noticed
but
that.
But he was more aware of it than this, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that came across my desk. Of course, you think the guys in the dugout weren't immediately saying to each other, look at this freaking guy. You kidding me?
Here's an old-school phrase for you. But you're suggesting that Rob Thompson was gilding the lily.
Gilding the lily. That is the right phrase. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, what's going on, dude?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Ladies, how you doing?
Doing well, Chuck.
Hey, listen.
After the ladies portion?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
There's only one lady here.
I was waiting for Devin to answer.
Joe had it covered.
Hold on. Jaws has a comment about my comment.
And people know when it's bull.
Yeah, that was not appropriate by me. All right, hello, Chuck.
Are you a lady, Joe?
I mean, I don't think so, but, you know, I've been accused of worse.
Yeah, I hear you. But listen, great win by the Phillies yesterday, by the way. Gotta give credit when credit is due. That was a great win. They pulled it out. I needed that one. But listen, I just want to let everybody know, I want the Phillies to win. I really do. It's not looking good, but I want them to win. I really do. But this season, right, the Eagles season, get ready. This is going to be a great run, all right? It's going to be one of the greatest Eagles seasons in history besides the Super Bowl year. I'm telling you. 13 wins, MVP candidate Jalen Hurts. Defense is going to come together as the season go on and progress. I'm optimistic about this year.
It'd be a wonderful thing. I mean, look, they obviously have the talent. As long as Jalen does his thing on offense, the offense should score. I mean, I don't quite know what it finishes out this year, but it feels like about 30 a game, like approaching 30 a game. I mean, that's a big number. But with the way it's easier to move the ball now, I mean, especially where you're going to get the ball even further down the field off kickoffs, I mean, I would think 27, 28, 29, 30 is reasonable.
So, Joe, let me ask you a question, right? What is your biggest concern on offense? Out of curiosity.
My biggest concern is still going to be Jalen Hurts because it's the most important thing. No, hold on. I'm giving you two. There's two different things, Chuck. So I think the weakest element is right guard and third receiver, okay? They're the weakest element. But if I were to answer you biggest concern, and I don't mean this to dog Jalen. I was very critical of him this offseason. If he is going to be awesome and everyone gets to stuff it in my face, good. I'll take that Thanksgiving stuffing. I really will. I mean, I really hope, Chuck, I look foolish for what I said. We'll find out. I would still call.
Will.
I listen. Maybe
you have pie on your face.
You know what?
That's a fact.
Then we'll see. Okay. Yeah.
But regardless, either way, he is the most important player. Like how he goes will dictate
the whole season
more than anyone else, exponentially speaking.
And that's why when I say concern, there's degrees of how great are you. I mean, like, would it be great if he gets back into the top 10? Sure. But being ninth isn't the same as being like third.
Top five.
All right, Chuck, give me an answer. That's what he was 2 years ago. Chuck, best sports quote ever. Which one?
Oh, this is the greatest sports quote with 94 WIP history. Bryce Harper. I'm going to hit a home run for Chuck tonight.
More famous than the Babe hitting it for that sick kid, you know, 100 years ago.
Glad to hear Chuck didn't hurt himself while patting himself on the back.
Yeah,
he was able to stay injury-free while announcing that.
Chuck's unbelievable. Man, Seltzer goes to take a couple days off and comes back with this. Have you played this before, James?
Only a couple times. Not enough.
No.
Trying to mix it in more.
Not enough. Great song. All right, great to be with you on this Thursday morning here. It was fun being out of training camp the last few days. Let's also get you to today's Twitter poll question of the day. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. So ESPN's got a big article out this week on the NFL, and one of the writers, Bill Barnwell, says the Eagles are one of five teams in pro football most likely to go backwards this upcoming season. So we ask you this question. Of course, they won 11 games last year. It's a very strange way to get to 11 wins, but it was, you know, Devin, you said it earlier, like if you hand 11 wins about this Eagles season to most fans right now, I mean, I think most would take it. Now, maybe some would say, no, I'll take my chances. Mm-hmm. Let's go try to win 12 or 13.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you're probably like, let's go at it.
Chiefs fan, you don't take it.
You're a Jets fan, you're like 11 wins.
Totally.
No, that's true. I was on.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
James, I was on Go Birds a couple weeks ago, and someone called in, and they're like, I mean, I just have a bad feeling about this season. It's going to be bad. They're going to be like 8-7. Like, oh, wait, or 8-9. And yeah, that's a losing record, but it's still like the Carolina Panthers would like to have a word here. Like, we have a very competitive football team.
Well,
and
for
we're
sure.
Lucky for that.
No, I agree with that. So, look, 11 wins probably doesn't get you, I mean, it's not going to get you a bye, but it's going to get you, you know, top, you know, three or so seed probably in a conference. So, we ask you this question today, Twitter poll question. What's the most likely outcome for the Eagles' regular season? Is it A, that they go 11-6, which would be the same record as last year, B, that they win more than 11, or C, that they win less? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. I'm also curious, you know, we touched on this earlier, if the fight that we normally have as fans with the nation, when, like this writer from ESPN, you know, he's kind of dogging the Eagles. I mean, whether he's right or wrong, he's kind of dogging them. Normally that would... get our, what's the term, dander? Is that the term, Jody?
Yeah.
Get your dander up. Gets our dander up.
Is that a term?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, get your dander up. Okay. I don't even know where that comes from.
That's right phrasing for it. It's a,
no, like that's what it is. Get your dander up.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm right.
He's got that one right.
Yeah, so the question is whether, with the way last year ended, do you feel that you can have, that you can... fight that fight at this stage as a fan, or do you need to see them play before you're ready to jump into that muck? Because I know this, while I'm getting increasingly excited for the season, I don't feel emotionally and psychologically where I normally would be with a team with this much talent 15 days before the start of the season. Does that make sense?
And
The bottom dropped
exactly.
Out.
That's why. That's not outrageous. That's not unthinkable. I just blatantly always believe the Eagles are going. No, with the way they finished last year, there has to be some trepidation coming into the season.
Yeah, I think so. By the way, Seltzer, it's good to have you back. And everyone can weigh in on the Eagles and everything here. 215-592-9494. James, I mean... you were easily replaced, quite obviously.
I'm sure.
You know, show didn't go off the rails. The earth didn't stop spinning on its axis.
We're still here.
But we We welcome you back.
Thanks, buddy.
How was the would you do anything?
Yeah, I went to a fish festival in Delaware. The band. So not, what is not that? Fishing. Okay, not fishing. Yeah.
So a fish festival.
So they played 4 days, and I only got to go to three. I had to work. I went to the game on Thursday night, but they played Friday night, Saturday, and then Sunday. So I went to all those.
So you saw the same band three straight days.
I've seen them 150, 160 times. Wow. Yeah.
What do fish fans call?
So they have like 3,000 songs they play.
Oh, I know what they call themselves, losers.
It's actually fans with a PH, if you want to get it correct.
Okay.
Fans. But yeah, they have like, they never play the same show. So it's always, they have like 3,000 songs. It's always a different show every night and stuff. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, then there it is.
It was awesome, man. Let me tell you.
What a life this Seltzer guy.
I had the best time.
I'm sure you did.
So much fun.
That's
man.
Up your alley. Great. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Actually, real quick, before we do, I want to play one piece of audio from Nick Sirianni. Because we're going to play various things as we move through the show. He had a lot to say yesterday at training camp with the final press conference of his training camp. Here he is yesterday on sort of just the big picture of this training camp, which now has concluded. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
How did those extra reps, longer practices, as far as conditioning, as far as learning, how did that serve you guys?
Yeah, I think we've had a good training camp. Guys have worked hard. Guys have competed well. And... It's been a really exciting training camp. I feel like we've gotten better throughout the, you know, not only when you grind together like we have throughout this training camp. I think guys get closer naturally. They get better.
Well, I know it's going to end so soon. I just put a big.
I gave you the 5 second warning. You weren't looking at me.
No,
so inside baseball,
a lot of eggs in my mouth right now.
I'll talk for a second. Inside baseball, I usually will give Joe 5 or 10 seconds, like a little hand signal. Was not looking at me at all. I saw him eating. It's like this isn't going to go well. I knew it was coming.
No. All right, bad job by May. All right, so look, great job by Jalen. He had a great camp. Obviously, it's the biggest headline by far from this training camp. I will say this. It may be the biggest headline from an Eagles train. Well, I was going to say since T.O. Obviously, when Andy's son died, that's a whole different deal. But other than Andy's son dying, you know, this may be the biggest headline from an Eagles training camp in 20 years. I mean, Jalen reestablishing, if he truly has, is a really, really, really big deal. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. And I'm not saying I'm still without some doubts, but I certainly have less than I did a month ago, and that's good. By the way, Phillies, of course, with a victory last night. Arcia with a stare down of Bryce, but the Phillies manufacturing some runs late and getting a well-pitched game from both Aaron Nola and the bullpen, although a crazy ninth inning where it did not feel good there at all for a stretch. This Estevez guy, man.
He's not, it's not like it's like easy.
No, he's got to get his act together. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, folks. Fun little anecdote. When I wrapped up my call with you folks yesterday, there was a random guy who I just passed on a bike path who asked if I was a GM. He heard my call, asked if I was a GM.
That's great,
man.
Honest,
I told him no. I said it's a Philadelphia Sports Radio Show, but now I feel like I should have lied.
Yeah, you definitely should have just said yeah and gone with it.
Yes.
Drew, Howie Roseman, nice to meet you.
Drew, I think you are at the very least at the point where you can get the business card, you know, handed out as a well-known local celebrity WIP caller.
I appreciate that, Joe. I can tell you the Phillies would have had a better trade deadline under my
Look at you taking a shot at Dumbo.
Well, quick Phillies point, and then I did want to get to the Eagles. He's been ripped a lot recently, and deservedly so, but I think I got to give a little credit to Rob Thompson. Last night, the Marsh and Stott moves off the bench manufactured that run. So I think just good job by him deploying those guys there in a key spot.
Yeah, well, it got the job done. I mean, Marsh lifted that ball pretty deep, and that was the winning run.
Yeah, good to see those guys just putting the balls in play, and hopefully they get some confidence. On the Eagles, I think Bill Barnwell is wrong. I think we're going to have a good season, but I have trouble saying it with my chest out right now. I'm curious if any of you remember this. It's been on my mind all summer, and I was kind of waiting for the day to bring it up. So the 2000s, we're going to learn so much in 15 days. I just remember the 2007 Eagles, they lost their opener to the Packers.
Yep.
And the Packers went on to be like 13-3.
Correct.
The Eagles meandered through the season. And I remember the middle of the season, Takeo Spikes gave an interview, and he said something along the lines of, if we just won that first game, I think us and the Packers would flip records. And I think he actually had a point there. And I just feel like there's going to be, like, I feel like the team that wins that first game is going to have an inside track at the one seed in the NFC.
Well, it's an interesting correlation. I do think that Eagles team would have been better if they gotten off to a better start. But, there was two big problems with the 07 Eagles. One, Donovan wasn't all the way back yet. So he had torn his knee in 06. He played the whole year, but he was just not in rhythm at all. I mean, there was even that one game I think they played Cobb, I think, just to give him a rest. And I think Akers hit the upright in a some long field goal and he missed it. But the other thing is that team didn't create turnovers that year. So, even if they win that game week one and they don't fumble the ball 37 times on punts in the first 2 weeks, I don't think that Eagles team really had it. Look, this Eagles team has a lot of talent, and they really should win 11 games or more. They should. I got to see the pass rush, I guess, a little more to feel completely solidified in saying that, but the offense is so far beyond the norm that I'll be really disappointed. If they don't hum on offense, it'll be a tremendous disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think this team is a lot better than the 07 team. I feel like Richie's team in 2003 was an exception, but I just feel like the best teams of my lifetime have like shot out like a cannon. They've got a hot start.
A lot of them.
Drew, so that's my expectation.
Drew, give me a big time answer, a sports quote for the Incubus tickets.
Yeah, you got it. I'm going with a local flair, Aaron Rowan, for Who My Teammates for What to Win.
Yeah, and that question was asked because it was the Ricky Wooders thing from 95. That was really great. I don't know which reporter asked that question. So most people probably remember 95, Ricky after the game for Who for What versus Marcel. Tampa. So some reporter, it was a great, like, Aaron Rowan probably did not know the context at all. I mean, maybe he did.
It'd be really weird if he did.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he would have been probably a teenager.
Maybe a deep cut for him.
Deep cut. A teenager when Ricky Wooders said that back in the mid-90s.
And not from around here. Not from around here. Philly guy, yeah.
And a reporter goes, Aaron, running in the wall, like, for who did you do that? For what? And he gave that answer. That was good stuff. Speaking of answers, we're going to get our answer on Tuesday. Seltzer, Tuesday for Are You Smarter?
Tuesday.
What, an 11th grader?
11th this year. We're up to an 11th grader,
ooh.
Yes. So we're almost getting to the point where it's like a college person.
Well, that is what you're almost getting.
We're almost there.
You computed that? Is that the kind of thing you figured out on vacation?
My point was, does it run out? Like, are you smarter than someone in college? Is that fun anymore? I feel like we're getting towards the end of this, what I'm trying to say.
You
might have to, wrap it back around and start back
over.
Yeah,
James, you definitely do.
I haven't lost.
I know.
I thought you lost last year. No.
5-0.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't in when you did it last year, but I remember it was dramatic.
He's won by the skin of his teeth a few times, for sure.
That's right. Hey, we'll talk to Howard, the king. Howard Eskin coming up in half an hour. Five questions with Jody Mack today. Jody, here's question two. I saw this headline yesterday. I was surprised, and it makes me wonder whether the Phillies should get him. I tend to think they should if they can. Hector Neris available. Cut by the Chicago Cubs, who were like sort of in playoff contention, but 5.5 games out. He had been their closer, 17 saves, an ERA in the mid-3s. So, like, he hadn't pitched bad. Now, not good in his last outing. Makes me wonder if something happened behind the scenes, because you don't normally have a guy cut.
For what it's worth, the ERA is a little misleading. He's at 3.89 ERA, is a 1.51 whip. Like a 1.51. Yeah. I mean, that probably leads the league. I haven't looked.
So, James, would you not sign him?
Oh, I would sign him. I would absolutely bring Hector up.
Jody Mack, this bullpen being what it is, latest example, I mean, good by some of the relievers last night. It was, they got through it with Estevez in the 9th, but that did not feel good. Would you sign Hector Neris?
The McDonald family vehemently votes yes.
Shout out to Maddie. Is Maddie a part of this too?
I just say, in our last commercial break, as we're walking out, Jody turns to me, he's like, do you like Hector the Protector? I was like, what? Why?
Is that about Hector Neris?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hector the Protector.
I didn't know you had this on your mind to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That's coincidental.
You teased it going to break.
You knew what I was getting at.
I knew what you were getting at. So that's why I asked Devin. My daughter was a Hector Neris fan, and when he left the Phillies, or maybe it was, did he go directly to Houston?
Houston. Yep.
Houston, right.
Beat him in the World Series and pitched well in
pitched
that
well,
series.
Pitched well, yeah. Could have given us one, Hector.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, Hector Neris beat the Phillies in the World Series.
And my daughter was a Hector fan. And he left. Unfortunately, she wasn't happy. But she did tweet him, best of luck with the Astros. And Hector replied.
Oh,
you don't usually get replies from professional athletes. And Hector said, thank you very much.
That's nice.
So she was a fan before he left. She stuck a fan even when he left and became a bigger fan when he responded to her on social media. So the McDonald family are Hector the Protector fans. Love to see him back.
I mean, I'm with you, too. And listen, I might not have felt that way entirely if these other guys had held up their end of the bargain lately. But it's been a roller coaster. I mean, I know last night some of the guys pitched well, but Strom, Hoffman, Ryan Kirkgren.
I mean, Estevez, like we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, they've all been going backwards. By the way, someone help me here, because, you know, I do some research for the show, but there's some stuff that goes beyond my interest. I got two all-time baseball dorks here today. I got Seltzer and McDonald, all right? And I say that with love. You guys know a lot about the minutia. What's the rule here? Does he have to clear waivers? Someone can claim him?
Someone can claim him.
Right.
Waivers.
Reverse order of standings?
It's reverse order of standings, correct.
And he can't be traded because the trade deadline is coming gone.
Probably.
I mean, a one-year deal for $9 million, so basically about $3.5 million left on his deal. Some team behind the Phillies is going to claim him then, right?
Yeah, not even three and a half, less than
three.
That.
Yeah, whatever it would be.
Yeah, we're less than a quarter of the season in.
So probably hard. Yeah, okay, so two something.
But how many teams?
Here's the thing I'll say. Agents play a big role in this type of stuff. That we're behind the scenes, like a lot of, like, I don't know who Hector's agent is, but a lot of times agents will be able to get teams not to claim him. Hey, we'll do something else for your guy later. Don't claim him. He wants to play on a contender. Whatever. Like, that stuff does happen.
Well, if I'm the Mets and I'm trying to make the playoffs, I'm signing him.
I get it. I get it.
I still wish the Celtics had drafted LeBron James's kid. You want to play hardball with us? All right, Bronny James, we draft you with the pick right in front of the Lakers. What are you going to do now, Rich Paul?
You said the same thing.
What are you going to do, LeBron James? What are you going to do?
I got killed for that.
What are you going to do?
For the same exact stance. If you're sitting anywhere the pick's leading up to, you absolutely take them. You put the squeeze on the Lakers.
100%.
But they were all afraid of the big agency.
It's ridiculous.
And they let him fall all the way down to the Lakers.
Society,
shame on all those
general society
managers.
Is weak. Everybody's weak. Let's go to Vinny in King of Prussia. What's up, Vin? Vinny!
Hey, Joe. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Hey, real quick. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
Just want to touch on the Eagles and this guy that wrote this article.
Mm-hmm.
I really think last year was rock bottom. I mean, I don't know how it could be much worse.
Well, I can guarantee it can be worse because, Vinny, it was rock bottom at the very end and for that last month or so. Mm-hmm. Dude, don't misconstrue it. They went 11-6. I mean, do you know when I was growing up, when Marion Campbell was the coach, I would have died for a freaking 11 wins. You kidding me?
Yeah. They had 11 wins, but they didn't look like an 11-win team.
They did not at the end.
No, not even from the beginning, though. They were
I'll agree with that. That's fair. That's fair. Yep.
They could have lost the first week to Patriots.
Like, yeah,
it was
a
rough season from the start. They look good this year. The rest of the division this year is also much worse. Dallas is looking like they're going to struggle. Their win total just dropped from 10.5 to 9.5 pretty much across the board. So I just think 10 wins this division this year, no problem.
10 wins will probably win the division because the Cowboys probably won't win 11. But listen, 10, you might be in a tie. I mean, I don't think Dallas wins 11. All right, Vinny, give me an answer here. A tremendous sports quote.
Okay, I think easy one, local, everyone uses it. Allen Iverson, we talking about practice.
Yeah. Just waiting all show for it.
Yeah.
I knew at some point we were going to get it.
You know, let me give you a backstory as it relates to me with that press conference. I was such a wuss. Such a wuss. I had just broken in the sports radio industry. So let's see. My first shift ever in radio was Thanksgiving Day 2001. And that press conference was in, I think, May of 2002 because the Sixers had just lost to the Celtics. I had just gotten to the point where I felt the confidence to approach a team like, I work for this radio station. Can I come to your press conference? And I got the yes from the Sixers.
Nice.
I got the yes like the day before that, maybe that morning, something like that. So I get a yes. I am officially allowed to attend the press conference. I just felt so unworthy
even though I was truly thinking of going to that press conference, I just didn't feel confident. I didn't go.
You didn't go? What? You got cleared and didn't go?
I got cleared and didn't go.
Oh, no.
And it would have been the first press conference I had ever been at.
Damn.
Wow. Wow. That's... But I also get where you're coming from.
Right?
Like, you had imposter syndrome. Because even sometimes I'll be sitting there, I'm like, what am I doing at Eagles training camp?
Right?
You know? It is kind of a surreal feeling.
It's very surreal. I mean, you grow up and you don't think that you're going to be on the other side of the rope.
Right.
And then you are. But I was so timid. Like, I know I am.
Hammer!
But I mean, and I always was.
Hammer!
There was some timidity in there. You know,
that's shocking. I can't picture
you're more like
the
hammer back then. I'm the hammer.
I'm the hammer, like but no words at that.
It's a regret. It obviously is a regret. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Elliot because you know, he did a great job. He really did. I know some people gave him a hard time for the Jalen Hurts, you know, he hasn't thrown an interception thing. And I do think Elliot, while somewhat serious, was also a bit tongue-in-cheek with some of that
leaning
stuff.
He was leaning in.
He was stirring it up a little bit.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
But his coverage really has been phenomenal. It's always phenomenal. Elliot does a great job covering the Eagles. He wraps up training camp yesterday, as he did every day through camp, with a video at the end, sort of just his biggest takeaway. And in this case, it's the overall takeaway from training camp. Here's Elliot's social media video after camp yesterday.
Day 16 of training camp, just wrapping up the last practice of training camp. Sad to see it go. Jalen Hurts, his first interception of camp today. It was a great play by Darius Slay. Darius Slay said afterwards that he baited Jalen into the throw. Jalen was, you know, dropped back, threw it over the middle, was trying to hit Devontae. Slay jumped it. Honestly, might have been a pick six in a game. It was a great play. But even with the streak coming to an end, it still caps off what was an outstanding training camp for Jalen Hurts. As I've said, the no interceptions is exactly what you want to see from Jalen. He doesn't need to be a risk taker. He doesn't need to be, you know, running all around and trying to make something happen. What he needs to do, and what I think the coaches want him to do, is just take care of the ball and get the ball to the playmaker. So that is what he did all camp. And overall, as you know, I leave this camp for good. I think Jalen had a camp where you can feel way better about him leaving the camp than you did coming in. Remember, he didn't have a great offseason. He didn't have a great end to the season. What he did have, though, was 16 practices of doing exactly what they need him to do. Take care of the ball, be smart, make the nice throws when he has to. There were a number of great throws that he made, a number of great deep throws. But the one interception over, you know, 330 throws, if he does that type of ball protection during the season, the Eagles are going to be very good.
Look, it really is exciting that he had such a great camp. Now, we need to see it in games to feel, I mean, at least some of us do, I do, to feel solidified that he's all the way back. But I'll say this. The better he looks this year, the worse Sirianni looks last year. Because if it really was about reinventing the offense and drilling down on Hurts more, then shame on Sirianni and Brian Johnson for not delivering last year. I mean, I'm serious, Jody.
I'm glad you added Brian Johnson to that, because Sirianni was the head coach the year he was the MVP runner-up.
That's right.
The one thing that changed was the offensive coordinator.
Two things changed. No, that changed, but defenses changed, and Sirianni didn't have the counterpunch to the defenses change. That, you know, that to me was the last year's last year. I don't want to do the deepest dive, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, the head coach or whoever's running the offense has to know, if a team's made an adjustment, let me adjust back. That's where I thought he was so foolish last year.
Yeah, I know I'm on an island on this one. I think the offense coordinator stunk last year, period.
You're not on an island.
No, you're not on an island at all. But I also know this. I blame the head coach more because it was his offense.
It was his offense when he came here and he called plays and he said, you know, I'm not quite good enough at this. I'm not spending enough time with the defense. Here, please take this over, Shane Steichen. So is it his offense, or has he given the keys to his offensive coordinators since week four of year one and said, it's on you guys?
Well, look, there are some unknowns in that whole thing that we'll never really know. At least I don't think we will. 215-592-9494. One more thing before we get back to the calls. You know, that interception was referenced there by Elliott, as Hurts did have his first interception of the season, of the training camp, that is. Let's listen to Darius Slay. There was some funny stuff in here. Here's Darius Slay. Then we're going to get to Jalen Hurts in that moment. Darius Slay yesterday on picking off Jalen.
Slay, were you aware that was Jalen's first interception at camp?
Yeah, I'm aware. I mean, y'all, the media be talking about that all camp. That he been, what, 200-something throws or whatever, something like that? So, yeah, I've been aware of it. Yeah. Oh, that's normal. Yeah, I'm 12 years in. I've been intercepting quarterbacks for a long time. Long time. Some of the great ones. So it's good. It's fun.
I'm telling you, I could listen to Darius Slay talk all day, every day. I mean, I think the guy's hilarious. Now, when they lose, there are times I guess I'm not in the mood to hear his...
Yeah. Not taking accountability.
His presentation.
A little flipping about it.
Like, it's like, all right, dude. It's a little bit like the Castellanos thing. They're the two guys. When they're winning, I love what they say, and when they're losing, it kind of ticks me off. But Darius Slay is entertaining. He continued on, by the way, about the INT.
Yeah, I baited him. That's it. I know how to bait Hurts. You know what I'm saying? I made him feel like he was open, and I'm like, nah, he ain't. That was it. Just a little bait. You know, threw a little rod out there and just reeling in.
Did Jalen say anything to you
after this? Nah, he don't like to talk to me when I pick him off. He get kind of mad at me a little bit. He kind of bothered. But it's okay. I'm going to go give him a hug and stuff.
So, to remind me with Beat the Hammer, I got to start using that phrase. A little bait. little bait. You know?
Yeah.
Little bait. Like, you got a shot to win. Call in, you know, to contest line. Little bait.
That we give Elliott a hard time, but I will say the Eagles even leaned into the no interception
thing. They did.
Everyone did, nationally.
Yeah. So, I mean, it worked.
I mean, Sirianni was talking about Elliott on the NFL Network.
Well, the people love to rip Elliott and then use his stats. You know,
that's
it's
right.
Like, oh, this is so silly. But did you know that Jalen has gone 265 passes that interception?
That's so true. Hey, let's listen to one more. This is Jalen Hurts, and this was a funny response by Jalen, after practice, about if he had an interaction with Darius Slay after that interception.
Did Slay say anything to you after the pick?
Nah, I told him about time.
It's good luck,
Vince. Good for Jalen.
Nice job, Jalen. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to that RC of Bryce Harper situation in a moment. Howard Eskin in 15 minutes. Rob in South Jersey right now. Good morning, Rob.
Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to thank you for I was waiting on hold here, and you just blurred out Ricky Waters for who for what.
Well,
he jumped you.
Oh, you were going to say for who for what?
Yeah, it's my favorite quote of all time.
Well, I'm sorry I inadvertently took it.
It's all right.
I got to imagine you can pivot. There's only a million sports quotes to go to.
I mean, you really should be blaming Drew from Westchester by bringing up the Aaron Rowan quote. Like, how do you not reference it after hearing the Aaron Rowan quote, right?
Plus, for who, for what, has such negative connotation? I don't think it would have won. I just don't.
It's a fair point. Real quick with Barnwell, I don't take anything he says seriously. He's a huge Giants fan. Even 2 years ago when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, he had them losing in the divisional round, first round, not to the Giants. But I think he had it where, like, Brady was going to win, or like the way it was going to work out, that Brady was going to come into the link and win that year. He's always, always trashing the Eagles. I'm not here saying the Eagles are imperfect, but anything Barnwell said, I take with the
Eagles. Okay, fair enough. What do you got on the Phils here today, Rob?
Phils, you know, there should be a rule in baseball that if your OPS is below 650, you shouldn't be able to stare down anybody. So that's something for Orlando Arce to say. And Joe, I get what you're saying with the rivalry,
yep.
But if that was Olsen, Ozuna, Albies, Riley, then I would agree with you. It reminds me of 2010. I don't know if you remember.
Hold on, let me guess before you say it. 2010. No. It reminds you of when that random Blackhawk guy was giving a hard time to Chris Pronger.
Oh, you are, Brett. That's very Adam Burrish.
Dude, that is
pull. Good pull. Oh. Good pull.
That is a hell of a pull.
And that is why I am, ladies and gentlemen.
The hammer!
So you mean the hammer.
I mean, Rob, all you said was the, and you're right, by the way, it's a great comp. That was a scrub Blackhawk talking about probably the Flyers' best player. And even though the Blackhawks won that series and all, and that was, I don't know, after maybe, I don't know which game it was after, but that was a punk move by that kid.
Yeah, Pronger would have destroyed him physically. Yeah, anyway, No, but again, and with the Phils as well, you know, I got to say, man, I didn't even watch last night. It's really hard to watch him every night because it's so frustrating. But when they went down 2-0, I was kind of watching on my phone. And for whatever reason, last year, this team always came back. This year, they haven't done it. So to see it last night, down 2-0 against Fried, I know the Phillies have had success against him, but they came back. They won the game. If they had lost last night, man, and it got down to 5, it was a big win. It was like, I don't know if this makes sense, but last night was a little big win. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And by the way, for everyone waking up to it, the Brewers lost yesterday. So the Phillies are now...
On a walk-off grand slam, yeah, the Brewers lost.
That's the way to lose. The Phils, I remember when Tim Tuffle did that to the Phillies, like in...
The Tuffle Shuffle, 80, baby.
88 or something. I'm watching a game and freaking Tim Tuffle beats the Phillies on a grand slam. Brewers, Phillies now one up on Milwaukee, but really two... Because the Phillies currently hold the tiebreaker. Rob, give me a great answer, a great sports quote.
Well, this is the quote I use when people ask me if I've ever beaten the hammer, and it's Bryce Harper's quote. That's a clown question, bro.
Oh, Rob. That's
nice.
So good.
That's good work.
So good. Yeah, I mean, there's so few in society that have ever beaten the hammer. I have heard from people who have known people that one guy in particular that beat me one time beat the hammer, and this guy, this loser, had the audio stored in his phone, and he plays it for people when he meets them.
I mean, it's a strong move.
Freaking clown, that guy, man. Has his one day in the sun. All right.
I was impressed by you remembering the Blackhawk. I was more impressed by Rob, who knew the player's name.
Yeah, that one.
who is this guy?
All right, Jody, can you name the Blackhawks goalie in that series?
No.
Because he was a disaster,
no.
And the Flyers goalie was. Seltzer, what was that guy's name?
Man, I remember Michael
Layton.
He was
horrible.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember. Is it Stanley Cup?
And I remember their big burly four was Dustin Bufflin, right?
Dustin, yeah.
Bufflin?
I mean, like, Taves and Kane.
Well,
and, like,
those
past,
two guys.
Past that,
right.
I'm
that's
pretty
all you
much
need
out.
To know.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop there.
And they had Patrick Sharp, right? The old Flyer, didn't they?
Yeah, Patrick Sharp was there, too.
Patrick Sharp.
Yep.
And was that Quinlan or Quinville? You know what I heard yesterday?
Joel Quinville.
Quinville's coach.
You know what I heard yesterday that I was surprised at? Someone told me yesterday, Torts, the oldest coach in the NHL.
Wow.
Mm. Torts just signed on to be the assistant coach of USA.
That's right.
Team USA Hockey.
That's right. Jody, does that surprise you? John Tortorella, oldest coach in the NHL?
No, he's been around for a long time.
He's coached
a lot of years.
But yeah, he doesn't look it and he doesn't act it. It's like Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll.
He's got a little of the tough guy old school around the league. But yeah, give him credit for he does not look his age.
No, he doesn't. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get to this RC and Bryce Harper situation from yesterday. So the Phils get the win, which was good. But in the midst of it, you know, RC, when he hits a home run for the Braves to make it 2-0, you know, halfway through the game, whatever the heck it was,
you know, punk move, if you will. Does the home run, does the going around the bases staring at Bryce thing. Let's first listen to the home run.
And a pitch. Swung on and hit high and deep to left field. Wilson is back at the track, at the wall. He jumps. It's gone.
All right, so he hits the home run, and then it takes a little bit of time for the broadcasters to realize what's going on, because that's the version there, Scott Fransky, on here on WIP. Let's get to the Tom McCarthy Rubin version on TV as they absorb, like, wait a second here. He's doing what we think he's doing, right? He's trying to get back at Bryce, who stared at him last year in the playoffs. Oh, yeah, he was trying. He certainly was. Here's Tom McCarthy and Rubin on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
2-0 Braves, Orlando Arcia, a two-run home run. He hasn't accomplished a whole lot this year, but he's given the Braves the lead here today. So this is what happened after he hit the home run. He's looking. He's got it. Yep. And then he looks for Harper.
Oh, very interesting.
Got to do it in the postseason.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the biggest home run. He looked at him again.
Yeah. Either that or he's looking at Noah. I don't know. I'm assuming he's looking at Harper at that point. You're right.
Yeah.
We think it was three times.
The fact that he three did it multiple times makes it just more of a loser move. Like, make sure he knows that I'm looking at him. Like, so, we get it.
So, yeah, look, I both don't like it and like it at the same time. The don't like part is Phillies fan, I don't need some brave scrub doing that to our guy. The part that I like... Make sports more fun.
I like Rubens. Biggest home run.
I like that. I like that. That's a settled down skip.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
let's relax.
Let's listen to Bryce Harper after the game. He obviously was going to be asked about it. Now the audio here a little. I don't know if grainy is the right term for audio, but if a visual version of grainy could be applied to audio, I guess this is grainy. It's not the easiest to understand, but you'll mostly get it. He's basically saying, "I don't care. I already did it." Here's Bryce Harper last night.
You see him?
I did it.
I couldn't cross.
Okay.
I already did it.
What's that?
I said I already did it.
Well handled, right?
I did that already.
I got that. Well handled. By the way, Rob Thompson handled it really well as well. I liked Rob Thompson's answer when he was asked about it.
Looked like Arcia had stared at Bryce after he hit that home run running first
base. I heard about that. Yeah, that's gamesmanship. We won.
Yeah.
That's great. We won. By the way, I heard about that. That's good acting right there. It's kind of like, you remember, Jody, when T.O. had those three touchdowns in Cleveland in 04, and he started ripping down all the signs behind the end zone?
Yes.
And Andy Reid's asked about it after the game. And Andy takes a different approach. Andy's like, I didn't know. I didn't see it. Yeah, he's like, hey, coach, shouldn't you try to get your star receiver's antics a little under control? Well, maybe if I'd seen it, I would have, but I didn't see it. But at least
weren't buying Andy's denial on no. that one. Were you, Joe DeCamera?
Nor am I buying Rob Thompson's. I noticed that. Like, of course you noticed that. The whole world noticed that. Let's go to the phones.
No.
What?
I think because you're watching the game. If somebody's sitting there watching the game in stadium, I don't know that they noticed that.
But he was more aware of it than this, like, Yeah, that came across,
here's my desk.
You think the guys in the dugout weren't immediately saying to each other, look at this freaking guy. You kidding me?
Here's an old school phrase for you. What? You're suggesting that Rob Thompson was gilding the lily.
Gilding the lily. That is the right phrase. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, what's going on, dude?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Ladies, how you doing?
Doing well, Chuck.
Hey, listen.
Why did I answer after the ladies portion?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
There's only one lady here.
Hold on, I was waiting
for Devin to answer.
Joe had it covered.
Hold on, Jaws has a comment about my comment.
People know when it's bull.
Yeah, that was not appropriate by me. All right, hello, Chuck.
Are you a lady, Joe?
I mean, I don't think so, but, you know, I've been accused of worse.
Yeah, I hear you. But listen, great win by the Phillies yesterday, by the way. Got to give credit and credit, dude. That was a great win. They pulled it out. I needed that one. But listen, I just want to let everybody know, I want the Phillies to win. I really do. It's not looking good, but I want them to win. I really do. But this season, right, the Eagles season, get ready. This is going to be a great run, all right? It's going to be one of the greatest Eagles seasons in history besides the Super Bowl year. I'm telling you. 13 wins, MVP candidate Jalen Hurts. Defense is going to come together as the season go on and progress. I'm optimistic about this year.
It'd be a wonderful thing. I mean, look, they obviously have the talent. As long as Jalen does his thing on offense, the offense should score. I mean, I don't quite know what it finishes out this year, but it feels like about 30 a game, like approaching 30 a game. I mean, that's a big number. But with the way it's easier to move the ball now, I mean, especially where you're going to get the ball even further down the field off kickoffs, I mean, I would think 27, 28, 29, 30 is reasonable.
So, Joe, let me ask you a question, right? What is your biggest concern on offense? Out of curiosity.
My biggest concern is still going to be Jalen Hurts because it's the most important thing. No, I'm giving you two. There's two different things, Chuck. So I think the weakest element is right guard.
There you go.
And third receiver. Okay? They're the weakest element. But if I were to answer you biggest concern, and I don't mean this to dog Jalen. I was very critical of him this offseason. If he is going to be awesome and everyone gets to stuff it in my face, good. I'll take that Thanksgiving stuffing. I really will. I mean, I really hope, Chuck, I look foolish for what I said. We'll find out. I would still call.
On your face.
You know what?
That's a fact.
Then we'll see. Okay. Yeah.
But regardless, he is the most important player. Like, how he goes will dictate
the whole season.
More than anyone else, exponentially speaking.
And that's why when I say concern, there's degrees of how great are you. I mean, like, would it be great if he gets back into the top 10? Sure. But being ninth isn't the same as being, like, third.
Top five.
All right, Chuck, give me an answer. What he was 2 years ago. Chuck, best sports quote ever. Which one?
Oh, this is the greatest sports quote with 94 WIP history. Bryce Harper. I'm going to hit a home run for Chuck tonight.
More famous than the Babe hitting it for that sick kid, you know, 100 years ago.
Glad to hear Chuck didn't hurt himself while patting himself on the back.
Yeah,
he was able to stay injury-free while announcing that.
Chuck's unbelievable.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.